At one point, I was like, I'm never going to teach. I don't want to be like my mom, blah, blah, blah. But I actually started doing it, and I actually really enjoy it. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just do this because I like it.
You're listening to I Taught English Abroad, a podcast by TEFL.org. My name is Ewan Davidson. I'm a content writer, but I'm also a podcast host now. In this podcast series, we're going to be speaking to people who have learned how to teach English as a foreign language, find out where it's taken them, and most crucially, what they've learned from it. So whether you're an aspiring TEFL teacher, you're studying a TEFL course, or you're just interested more generally, this is a podcast for you. We'll be covering a range of topics each week, from travel and accommodation to the nitty-gritty of teaching, all while taking a look at global teaching and the quirks of TEFL life. I'm joined today by Jenny Hilder, who's based in North Carolina. Having moved to Birmingham, which I'm assured is England, not Alabama, to study for a BA in Modern Languages, Jenny became academically adept at Italian, French, and Spanish before moving on to teaching English. So quite the CV there. Since moving to England and getting her degree, Jenny has taught English online while also moving to Italy and now back to North Carolina. Now she's working for TEFL.org, helping fellow polyglots teach English worldwide. Jenny, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I can't complain. I managed to get through the intro all right, so I mean, yeah, that's half the battle. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You don't have to say that because you're my colleague, but it does help. So we'll get right into it. You've got a really, really interesting story, and I thought it was really important to get you on here. Obviously, you know, as we kind of covered at the introduction, languages are obviously a massive passion of yours. I just wanted to know, where did that come from? Because everyone I know who is into languages has their own kind of unique story.
I think it's mainly because when I was a kid, we just always traveled. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously in England, we just went to France a lot and traveled around Europe a bit. And then I guess my first flight was to Spain or something like that. And then we ended up moving to the States, and then we traveled all around the States and all that. I think it's just, I love traveling. So I love learning languages of different cultures as well.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, there's that kind of family influence and moving around a lot, but you would have studied languages at school as well. So was there a kind of particular moment when you realized I'm actually quite good at this? Like I can speak multiple languages. I can write multiple languages. I can understand these things. Like, was there a kind of crystallized moment, or did it all kind of come gradually?
I think it was mostly gradual. I think maybe when I did my, I was in the States when I did GCSE. So I did like IGCSE. So it's like international. I don't know. But maybe when I got my best grades in my language subjects in those, and then I was just kind of like, oh, I'm good at languages. So I did French and Spanish at IGCSE as well. Mm-hmm. And then took them both to like IB level. So A level, and then just carried them on.
I always wondered actually as well, going off script a wee bit, which is probably not great for the third question in a brand new podcast, but I've got friends, as I said, I've got friends who speak multiple languages. I don't, I barely speak English, but and depending on where they are, they think in a certain language. So let's say if, you know, my friend used to work in Germany, and after a while he would think in German. Does that kind of thing happen, or is that was he maybe making it up?
No, that happens. It definitely happens. So like, after I graduated and stuff, I moved to Italy for a fair few months. It was a COVID lockdown, so we couldn't really go anywhere. And I was with like Americans as well. So, you know, we were just speaking English. But whenever I went out to like, I don't know, the supermarket or to see something, I don't know, I just always just spoke Italian. Like I wouldn't speak English if I was out of the house kind of thing. And so the more you do that, the more you just immerse yourself in the language and stuff, the more you're likely to start thinking in the language.
Okay. That makes sense. And my friend's not a liar either. So that's two birds with one stone there. So when you graduated with your BA in Modern Languages, what were the options for you kind of straight off the bat? And why did you choose to teach English as a foreign language?
Yeah, so straight off the bat, I graduated into COVID lockdowns. So I literally, my last semester was all remote. My classes and my exams were all remote. So I was at home and there wasn't a lot of choice. I did briefly work for like an interpreting company. So just in any business setting, I would interpret Italian or Spanish or English or French, you know, two of the other languages. And then I wasn't. See, the thing is, I'm really good at writing and thinking in the language. I'm not great at on the fly speaking the language. I can't, My brain isn't quick enough to like translate it that quickly. So I like started researching other choices for me. And then I found TEFL and I was like, oh my God, that's really interesting. And then, yeah, I was like, I can use this to work abroad one day once COVID lockdown stopped. But for the time I was like, yeah, I'll just start working online. And yeah, I really enjoyed it and just kept doing it.
That's fair enough. So kind of obviously, you know, you came through school and university with that interest in languages. How much awareness did you have of TEFL kind of as a concept?
I think I kind of knew about it. I think also my friends started working. So with like a language degree, you do a year abroad. So I think it was in Spain. My friend started working for like British Council. And they said one of the criteria was like someone with a TEFL certification could do it as well. Not just a language student. So I thought that was really cool. And then I kind of started becoming more aware of it when I graduated. And I was finally like, I had to find something for me to do other than study. So
did you have ambitions to teach kind of during that period? Did you ever see yourself being a teacher? Because I mean, obviously it depends on each individual's experience, but there are some people who have always felt that kind of pull to teaching and other people have sort of thought, hey, I could actually be quite good at that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that because my whole family literally are teachers. So like my mom, my aunt, my two older sisters, my other aunt were all teachers in some degree.
Right.
So I think maybe part of it was subconscious, like, oh, I can actually do that because my family does that. But at one point I was like, I'm never going to teach. I don't want to be like my mom, blah, 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 blah. But I actually started doing it and I actually really enjoy it. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just do this because I like it.
I like that. Yeah. A lot of my family are teachers as well, but they're probably quite sorely disappointed with me now. But that's its own podcast that I'm doing. And by podcast, I mean therapy. But which course did you end up doing and why did you pick that specific one?
I ended up doing a 120 hour online course. Ended up finishing that pretty quickly because, again, I wasn't doing anything else.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I'll start applying. So I did. Pretty simple.
That's absolutely fair enough. I'm just trying to think of all the things I got into during lockdown. I like watched a lot of telly. I got really into Seinfeld instead of doing a course. Is it nice? I don't know. But well, I mean, you're a podcast guest and I'm a podcast host, so that's kind of shows what happens if you do a course versus watching lots of telly. Is there anything you'd do differently now if you take yourself back to, obviously it wasn't actually that long ago, but if you take yourself back to that place where you think you're thinking about going into TEFL, is there anything you'd do differently with the knowledge that you have now?
I would probably do like one of the combined courses, like one of the ones where I could actually be in a classroom, because obviously in lockdown it would be virtual anyway, but I would have liked to be able to, you know, be with people in the same position and, you know, get to practice a bit more, because although the 120 hour course like trained me for what I needed to teach, it kind of feels like you're being thrown in at the deep end when you go straight into classes without like practicing with other people.
Okay, no, that makes a lot of sense, actually. It kind of ties quite nicely into the next question. And I didn't actually let you read the questions beforehand, so it's as if you knew.
Magic.
Well, exactly. So, okay, let's skip ahead a wee bit. You're teaching your first online class, and we'll get into, you know, the kind of places that you worked and your experience a bit later on. But you're teaching your first online class, you've done the preparation, you've passed your course. What are your feelings at that moment as you're getting ready to teach your first class?
Yeah, so for the first company I worked for online, part of the interview process was like a demo class. Like you had to basically, they gave you the material, but you had to like do a class. You had to pretend you were teaching a student already and record that and send it in. But that was fine. And I think that in itself helped me prepare for actually teaching. Obviously, I didn't have students at the time when I was doing a demo class, but I think it definitely made me a lot more comfortable with material. For my first actual class with little children, I think my first class, I had two students. They were about 4 or 5 years old each. And don't get me wrong, I love kids, but like teaching kids, you know, it was kind of like a whole, am I ready to like mold these minds to teach English? I wasn't sure. I was a bit worried about that, but it was really great. It was actually, I guess my first students were really good. They were really like comfortable with, they had already had a pretty good level of English. I think it was great that they were working with me, kind of like, it was more like I went off of how they were, like, you know what I mean? Like you bounce off of each other. And it made me really comfortable actually with teaching. So I guess that was a first good lesson for me.
And I suppose a really, really crucial point here, who were you teaching and what kind of places were you working for, you know, when you started off?
So I taught kids ages 3 to 12. So I was teaching between pre-K, like nursery English, level English to like pretty like moderate English, I would say.
So what was the most challenging thing that you overcame early on? I don't want to get into like the, you know, problem students or naming any names or anything like that, because, you know, just in case you never know who's listening, but especially with kind of online teaching, what were the big challenges that you first kind of came up against?
Especially with the younger kids is keeping their attention, like making sure they're actually listening or actually be like engaging. I've had a couple students that like logged on to the class and were like asleep or falling asleep, like, because it's like late for them and they're quite young. So I kind of get it, but it's also like, you might want to listen to me. Yeah, I think that would be my biggest challenge, would be like keeping their attention. And I guess the best way to overcome that is, one, know your material and be really comfortable with it so that you can like almost perform when you're teaching in a way to like keep their attention. And kids love props, so like either toys or puppets or like, I don't know, little stick figures. They really enjoy seeing them, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah, well, I'm sort of imagining a kind of Punch and Judy scenario. I don't know if you
pretty much.
Yeah, I was always terrified of that as a wee guy, but that's my thing. So you're working with companies based in China, Korea, and that kind of thing, but you've got all these languages in your arsenal. Mm-hmm. How much did having other languages help at that moment? Because obviously, even if you don't know Cantonese or Mandarin, you still have that kind of you have that perspective of what it's like. So how much did that help to have that academic background in language?
Yeah, I guess knowing the difficulties that I faced learning a different language was helpful, because it meant that I could like help my students in those difficulties, or even think of other ones that they might find. So I guess in that way, it was really great, because I could kind of imagine where they would have trouble or like why something wouldn't quite sound right for them, or, you know, so that was really useful, I think. In other terms, though, French, Spanish, Italian, you know, in a different language family completely from Asian languages. So that wasn't great. I think in all languages, you would kind of have the same issues. So I think that's what helped me there.
That's really cool. Okay, so obviously you're teaching for a while. When was the sort of first kind of click moment when you were like, yeah, I can do this. I can absolutely do this.
That's a good question. It was probably after I taught like kids of all ages. So I had different levels of classes to teach, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I was maybe like the second or third time I was teaching a higher level, I was like, oh, okay, I kind of know where this is going. I got this, because I was already familiar with it. And the same thing with the lower levels. So I guess it was like after I had taught enough of the different levels many times, but you know, I was just more, the more you teach the same levels, the more comfortable you get with the material and that kind of thing.
And what's your favorite thing that you've taught? Is there a specific grammar thing or punctuation thing or like sort of family of words that like you really, really love teaching more than anything else? Or
I wouldn't say I have a favorite. It was with my current company at the moment, Magic Ears. We have like a few characters who are all in different families or whatever, mm-hmm. and they are great for, their names are great for like for the younger kids with like pronouncing certain letters. So like I know we've got Jamie and Joe and just the J, and with me being teacher Jenny, mm-hmm. I think just the letters, I enjoy teaching the letters because you have a lot of fun with it, with different words.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And you know, it, English is obviously as native speakers, it's different. You don't really get a perspective on how strange and difficult English is to learn. But there's a lot of kind of fun there as well, I would imagine, like a lot of kind of fun that you can have with certain vowel sounds and certain letters and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
So you worked for online companies based in different regions. What are the kind of key differences between company, not specific companies, but kinds of companies and the differences between regions that people might not know? Or is there anything, is it all fairly transferable?
A lot of it is fairly transferable between different online companies. I would say the main difference for me would be some of them have their own teaching platform, like their own, you would use their own platform, their own classroom, their specific like resources, I guess you would say, because you can like draw on the board or whatever. But then other ones, I've used Zoom to teach as well, and I've used Skype. Which is obviously, if you're familiar with them, is great because you can use the pen and you can write whatever. But I guess it would be knowing the differences or learning the differences between the platform and how to use all the tools available. That would be my main thing.
So before we get to a quick break, I had some quick fire questions. You're now a business at the TEFL.org. How rewarding has that been, kind of helping people follow the same path that you took? Because I've got to imagine that, like, you know, you've been there and you've seen it and you've done it yourself. Does that give you kind of, do you think, extra insight into what aspiring TEFL teachers want and need?
I mean, maybe. I guess it's different for everyone. I like when I can, when people are asking specifically about like teaching online and stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, I know this. I can answer your questions. I can help you. That's the part I like. It's if they're trying to teach somewhere I've never heard of or never been, or, you know, I don't know anything about it, I can really help them there. But yeah, it is great to like know what they're going through in terms of, you know, finding a job or like finding the right course or, you know, all of those things. I find that really good. I really like doing that.
Okay, so we're going to go to a quick break and one of my colleagues is going to tell you what's happening on the TEFL.org website.
Hi there. We hope you're enjoying listening to I Taught English Abroad, a podcast by the TEFL.org. Hopefully you're feeling inspired by what you're hearing, and maybe you're wondering if you can teach English as a foreign language too. Well, the answer is yes. And as an exclusive reward for listening to this podcast, we're offering you 50% off TEFL courses, plus a free lesson plans pack to help you get started. Just use the code PODCAST at checkout. With that discount, you can get TEFL qualified with the world's most accredited TEFL course provider and learn how to teach from teachers. With dedicated tutor support, lifetime access to our TEFL job centre, and friendly advice from our team of experts, you could be teaching English abroad or online within just a few months. Signing up couldn't be simpler. Just visit www.tefl.org and add the code PODCAST at checkout to get your discount. That's www.tefl.org. Start your TEFL adventure today.
And we're back with Jenny Hilder. How are you doing? How have you found this so far? What's it like being a podcast guest?
It's a little intimidating, but I quite enjoy it. I don't have to do anything else, so I'm good.
Okay, I didn't mean to intimidate you. I'm sorry about that. I'll try and, I guess, I'll have a softer approach for the rest of the series.
It's just the recording. I hate hearing my voice recorded. That's mostly it. I just know when we're done with this, I'm going to listen back and be like, oh no, I hate my voice.
Everyone should hate their own voice. And if you don't hate your own voice, then that's its own set of issues, I think. So you've had a varied and really interesting kind of background in teaching English abroad. So what I'm going to get you to do now is answer some quickfire questions. Some require brutal honesty. Others are more sort of idealistic. Are you okay with that? You ready?
Got it. I am good.
Excellent. I just said I'm going to stop being intimidating. I'm like, you're ready? Are you ready for this? Okay, so maybe I'll have some background music or something with a little bit of tension here. I'm not really sure yet. Let's see what I can get license free. But number one, what's the strangest moment you had teaching English?
Maybe when I was teaching, like there were like three kids in my class. And I think two of them were sisters, but I wasn't sure. I didn't want to say it outright. So then I said something to one of the students because you can mute the other students. And then I was like, oh, go and tell your family, blah, blah, blah. And then the other student replied to me like with the same answer for the question I gave to the first student. I was like, ah, I was right. You are sisters.
That's excellent detective work. I can't beat that. So of the three kind of three, I don't want to say main, but yeah, I guess the three main places you've spent your adult life is essentially, you know, with the teaching as well. Where's the best food? The UK, Italy, or North Carolina?
Best food? Come on, that's Italy. That's obvious.
I was hoping you would say that.
Say pizza, pasta is the best.
I've been to Rome and I just wanted to live there forever. Although, what's kind of local cuisine in North Carolina while we're here?
Barbecue, like southern fried barbecue stuff. That's
okay. I can live with that.
It's not bad. I don't dislike it. I just prefer Italian food.
I remember you probably still do. I doubt they've changed just because I left. But they used to have like bruschetta at train stations in Italy, and it was the best. It was like the best thing you'd ever tasted in time. It was just like, I don't know. I love it.
And also, like, transportation in Italy is so easy. You can, like, get anywhere super quickly and pretty cheaply. And you can go to Rome to get amazing food and then go back to Venice to, like, sail the canals or whatever. I just find it really cool in Italy.
Public transport, everyone. It's the best. Okay, so number three. What did you learn from either being in Italy or from teaching online that you wish someone had told you before about teaching English?
Time difference. So especially if you're teaching, a lot of online companies are based in Asia. If you're in the States, depending on where in the States you are. So for me, Asia, like China, is 12 hours ahead of me. So when I teach 5 p.m. classes for them, it's 5 a.m. for me. If you're in California, that would be what, 3 a.m. for 5 p.m. classes for them. Like, just be aware of the time difference because it's not great.
That's an extremely good point. And it also factors into this very recording, so I completely understand. Okay, so let's go hypothetical. If tomorrow there was money was no object, you could go anywhere in the world and teach, where are you going and why?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Would I still teach online or would I teach in person?
It's completely up to you.
Oh no. More choice. That's a good question. I really want to go. I visited Thailand once, but I want to go and spend some real time there. Or like maybe Singapore. Singapore would be so cool. So I'm going to say Singapore. And I guess I think I would still teach online just because I have some really good students that have stuck with me for a while. Mm-hmm. And I hope they enjoy my classes because if they don't, then why are they still with me? But still. So I would probably still keep those students teach online in Singapore.
Very good choice. Yeah, you can actually read all about teaching English in Singapore on the TEFL.org website. That was a smooth segue, wasn't it?
Nice.
See, it's not my first rodeo. Okay, finally, why should people learn to TEFL?
It just actually gives you so many opportunities that you didn't even know existed, especially if you want to travel. You can definitely travel and teach. You can basically fund your own travel. Or, you know, if you just want like an extra income, like teaching online is an extra income. It's great. There's so many opportunities people don't realize you can actually do. But yeah, that's TEFL will unlock that for you.
I love it. Okay, well, massive thanks to Jenny, who's been an excellent guest for our inaugural I Taught English Abroad podcast. How did that go for you? Are you happier for having done this?
I think it went all right. I think it went pretty well. Yeah, you're a very good host.
Thank you. I don't know if I agree, but we'll see what it's like when this is all edited. Jenny, thank you very much. It's been a blast.
It was great for me too. Have a good rest of your evening, Ewan.
You've been listening to I Taught English Abroad, a podcast by the TEFL.org. However you found us, we hope you've subscribed to keep up to date with each episode. And please remember to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Acast, or wherever you found us. To keep up to date with the TEFL.org, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Just search the TEFL.org and you'll find us. And if you're interested in starting your TEFL journey, you can browse our courses and speak directly to an advisor by visiting www.tefl.org. That's www.tefl.org. See you next time.